athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of Box to Row. Look, we're slammed today here on the program. So much to talk about. You've got the divisional round of the NFL playoffs that we're going to talk about. You've got a national championship game being played on Monday between Ohio State and Notre Dame that we're going to talk about. Also, joining us today here on Box to Row, special team specialist and safety, Jeremy Reeves of the Washington Commanders, also going to join us today here on the program. So look, we've got so much to get to. And I got to say, had a chance to be in Tampa on Sunday. Had a great time, first of all, in Tampa. I've spent some time in Tampa, but not a whole lot. Shouts out to our affiliate in Tampa, WURK, who has carried Box to Row for probably 11 or 12 years now, but had a chance to be in Tampa. And let me tell you, look, if you're a Commanders fan, you got to be super excited. A win at Tampa, sort of avenging the loss from the very first game of the season. This is a different Commanders team, obviously, than the very first game of the season. That first game, you didn't know what to expect. So when the Commanders lost that game, you know, battle. And, you know, Jaden Daniels was decent. Like, he was solid. I mean, I would say for a debut, it was pretty decent. Nothing spectacular. But one thing he did not do in the debut against the Buccaneers is turn the football over. And going somewhat 20 weeks later, he didn't turn it over again, and the Commanders came out with that victory. I mean, I must have been, if Raymond James Stadium holds, let's say, close to 70,000, there had to be 25, 30,000 Commanders fans at this football game. As a matter of fact, we were sitting in the 100 section, so we were right below. It's the section you gotta, like, nearest the field, right? We probably were about three sections back or so from where the sections end before you would drop down to kind of go, or, well, you can't go on the field, but you know what I mean, right by the field. And so it's a section where at most games you're going to see a lot of visiting teams. We're on the, you know, on the visitor's side, you're going to see a lot of visiting teams fans, because generally speaking, in that particular section, number one, because we were sitting there and we had to buy these tickets, they were the more cheaper tickets, if you will, and they weren't terribly expensive. But the other thing is, you have to stand up. Most of the time, you have to stand up if you really want to see, because everybody's standing up in that section. And so it must have been, I don't know, that section was filled mostly with Commanders fans, but throughout the course of the stadium. And I got to say, like, I'm a fan, obviously, but when you think about the National Football League and the history of the National Football League, and you think about the teams that are currently, excuse me, in the National Football League, there aren't a lot of teams that go back to the 30s. The Giants, you know, the Bears, maybe the Cardinals when the Cardinals were in Chicago once upon a time. I mean, I'm sure there's some other teams, but not really coming to mind. The Commanders, or the Redskins, go back to the 1930s, okay? Won some NFL championships, had some bad years, and then that run in the 80s, from like the early 80s through the early 90s was very, very special. And Commanders fans, Washington as a whole, because when you think about Washington and you think about the DMV or the Washington area, right, like all you've got all the professional teams there. You've got the Nationals who are more new. So the team before the Nationals were the Baltimore Orioles. You know, you have the Washington Wizards. You have the Capitals. But even if you think about those teams, I mean, before the Bullets, or before the, as we know them now, the Wizards were in Washington, it was the Baltimore Bullets. The Capitals, I think, have been around since like the 70s. So you're talking about, the Senators were around a long time before, but Washington didn't have baseball for like 30 years before the Nationals came to Washington from Montreal. So you're talking about the Commanders, the Redskins, being the team in that area. Then you compile the success more so in the 80s, early 90s. Some success. Remember, Vince Lombardi was the coach of this team the late 60s before he passed away. George Allen took over, was building something maybe through the mid part of the 70s. So there had been some success. And then, bam, Joe Gibbs came in, caught fire. The Commanders own Washington. They own Washington. So when the Commanders are good, things are good in Washington. So it wasn't a big surprise to me. Well, I got to be honest. I mean, it wasn't a surprise to see a lot of Commanders fans, but it was a bit of a surprise to see the amount of fans. Like, I'm saying, if the stadium holds 70,000, there were 30,000 fans. I mean, probably right about 30,000 fans. So you're talking about, you know, close to 40% of the people at that game were Commanders fans. It was like that. Like, it was almost a takeover of Raymond James Stadium. And the other thing is, I mean, the Buccaneers weren't always great, if you think about it, weren't always great. Actually were kind of bad, especially started early on. Doug Williams was drafted in the first round. Remember that. We think about him and the whole Redskins galore and winning that Super Bowl. But that was a moment in time. Doug Williams was really good for the Buccaneers when they drafted him. As a matter of fact, not only made multiple playoff appearances, but I think one year the Buccaneers made it to the NFC Championship game. So the history of the – and then went bad after that. So the history of the Buccaneers isn't there. So the fan base is going to be a solid fan base because – but it's not going to be like other fan bases who have been around a long time and have had success. So a lot of people at that game, a lot of Commanders fans, and the Commanders come away with the victory. The prize for the Commanders, now you have to face the Detroit Lions. That's going to be a big-time football game. It's, 8:30 on Saturday. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that matchup, all of the matchups. You know, I thought, and I'm going to tell you a matchup that I wrestled with and that I'm going to wrestle with today. I'm going to give you my thoughts. I wrestled with the matchup between, and if you look at the Texans, right, like the Texans able to get it done on last week. And I wrestled in terms of trying to pick a winner in that game between the Texans and the Chargers. And something just kept, I picked this at the last moment. Something just kept eating at me. Like, okay, yes, it hasn't been a great season. The AFC South is weak, but the Texans have been here before. DeMeco Ryans is going to dial up a little bit something special defensively. You know, I think, C.J. Stroud will come around, and that's exactly what happened. Maybe not great football early on, but as the Texans settled in, forced Herbert into four interceptions in that football game. So not a, you know, I just felt like the Texans, and I picked this at the last minute, would win that football game. No surprise about the Ravens, to me, beating the Steelers. That Rams and Vikings game, a bit of a shocker. I got to be honest with you. And I didn't see that coming. Even though Minnesota faltered last week or the week before against the Lions, I said, okay, that's just a one-off. They've had a good season overall. I think Sam Darnold is going to bounce back, and he didn't. He had a worse game, as a matter of fact, in the loss to the Rams than he did the week before against the Lions. So, again, we're going to talk more about those matchups today on the program. We're also going to talk some college football playoff and specifically the national championship game also today on the program. The HBCU National Players of the Week in basketball. First up, Morgan State guard Cameron Hobbs averaged 32 points, 4.5 rebounds, shot 49% from the field, 41% from three-point range in two games for the Bears on last week. One of those games of victory over North Carolina Central. The other HBCU National Player of the Week, Norfolk State guard Diamond Johnson, and she averaged 21.5 points, 3.5 assists, 4.5 steals, 4 rebounds, shot 61% from the field, 46% from three-point range in two victories for the Spartans on last week. And Diamond Johnson, that Norfolk State team, is absolutely tremendous with Diamond Johnson, Kiara Wheeler. I mean, that's a fantastic team. A team, I think, that providing it wins the MEAC tournament can really do some damage in the NCAA tournament. I think the way that that team is going right now, I mean, that's a team that probably, to me, should get a 13 seed at the minimum. Remember, they beat two SEC teams. Missouri was one of them. I can't remember the other team. But beat two SEC teams, is playing well. You win the tournament. I think that's a minimum of a 13 seed, if not a 12 seed, for that Norfolk State Spartans women's basketball team. So plenty more to get to here on Box to Row. Still to come here on the program, Washington Commanders special team specialist and safety Jeremy Reed.
More of Box to Row with Donald Ware is on the way.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
For the Commanders, when we talk about great receivers in the National Football League, we rarely talk about Terry McLaurin. 5 straight years of 1,000 yards receiving, and even in his first season, he had like 920 yards receiving. So this is a guy that, since he's come into the National Football League, that has also gotten it done. But really, the key to the Commanders this year has really been Jaden Daniels and some of the things that he's been able to do, why this team is in the position that it's in.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
I got broads in Atlanta. Just to be in the family. Credit cards in the scammers. Hitting the licks in the van. Legacies, family. Wait and see, look like a panda. Going out like a Montana. Honey, down the helmets. Legacies.
Still to come here on Box to Row, Washington Commanders special team specialist and safety Jeremy Reeves going to join us on the program. Continuing to pray for those in and around Los Angeles with these wildfires that continue to flare up. And I mean, it's like unlike anything in terms of the pictures that I'm seeing, anything that I've seen before. And it's interesting because you talk about, okay, well, when the pandemic came 5 years ago, we've never experienced anything like this before, and so on and so forth. And I mean, it is something. I'm going to tell you, it is something. People don't have places to go. Their homes are gone. Wow. Apocalyptic is the word that is most frequently used. And so, man, I feel for these people. I feel for those people, that Los Angeles community that is dealing with this. I mean, people don't have a place to go. You can talk about rebuilding and that will happen, but what happens in the interim? It's like still right here, like in our state, you know, in the western part of the state where the hurricane came through in the mountains. And it's like people are still dealing with that. Homes have been destroyed. Where do you go until such time that the area is rebuilt? So thoughts and prayers continue to be with those in L.A. You know, Bob Uecker, and I grew up in a time when, you know, Bob Uecker, and he passed away earlier this week at the age of 90. Known as Mr. Baseball. A couple of things I didn't know. He had come on or was a guest on Johnny Carson's show quite a few times, which, I mean, you talk about talk shows. I mean, Johnny Carson's show, fantastic. Not, you know, I didn't really watch it. It was younger when towards the latter part of its run, right? Like I remember the whole Jay Leno, David Letterman battle. I remember all of that. But that was towards the end of the run of Johnny Carson. And I go back and watch some of the reruns of the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Absolutely tremendous. So I didn't know that Bob Uecker was quite frequently a guest of Johnny Carson's. What I remember most are the light beer commercials. You know, the one most famously when he's sitting amongst a bunch of fans and he's, you know, he's got a dialogue kind of going and, you know, talking a little bit about the beer. And then the usher comes and say, hey, buddy, you're in the wrong seat. You know, come on. And then he says, oh, I must be in the front row. And then the next scene, you know, they go to a cutaway talking about, you know, showing the beer. And then you go and see he's way in the upper deck talking about, hey, he missed the tag. I mean, that's what I remember most about Bob Uecker. I also remember him from the movie Major League, which was a really good movie. Anytime Major League comes on, I watch it every time it comes on. Like, it was a fantastic film, and he was an integral part of that. And the thing about it, he was calling games for the Brewers. Like, he was the play-by-play voice for the Brewers for however many years. I'm not even sure how many years it was, but up until this past season in 2024, right? So, you know, Bob Uecker passing away at the age of 90, Mr. Baseball, and those are some of the fond memories I have of Bob Uecker. So let's talk about this national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame, which promises to be a fantastic football game. Look, Ohio State has the roster,
has all of the weapons in the world. I thought, you know, in the victory by Ohio State over Texas, right? Like, Will Howard, the quarterback, like, he was solid. I mean, nothing special, right? You know, Ohio State didn't run the ball particularly well. It was a nip-and-tuck affair. And, you know, Texas had some momentum. I thought Sarkisian really started to call the game a little bit more aggressive in the third quarter for Texas. It enabled Texas to come out, to come back. Ohio State does go up, and if not for maybe a bad, you can talk about this sack, the strip, the fumble, and then the pick six for Ohio State, which sealed the game. Because remember, Texas had it not only in the red zone, but I believe inside of the 10-yard line. And one of the play calls was really the Longhorns tried to run a stretch play against Ohio State defense. You're not going to run stretch on them, particularly in that short of field down in within the 10-yard line. I thought it was a bad play call. And then I think it was the next play or the play after that when you had the strip sack fumble and then the return for the touchdown on that. But Ohio State needed all of that to win that football game. And, you know, it wasn't like Notre Dame, you know, had a walk in the park either against Penn State. But for me, I look at these two teams. Ohio State has been, you know, you look at the loss against Michigan. I mean, yeah, I'll give Ohio State a lot of credit. Dominant performance against Oregon in that first CFP game. Ohio State has gotten it done. But I think there are some chinks in the armor with respect to Notre Dame as well. But I think there's some chinks in the armor with Ohio State. Because I think when we talk about Ohio State, the main thing that we're talking about is the talent level. Like, the talent level's off the charts. You've got two running backs. You've got receivers all over the place. I mean, Jeremiah Smith, who's the freshman, the highly touted freshman, had one reception for 3 yards in the game. But, I mean, that's no knock on him per se, as much as, you know, I want to give Texas some credit. But the fact of the matter is that this is a talented wide receiver core for Ohio State. So it's talent all over the place defensively. I mean, Ohio State is great when you're talking about defenses. Put a lot of pressure on Texas, on yours in that game. Came away with 4 sacks in the game, had 9 tackles for loss. So there's no doubt about the talent level that Ohio State has. For me, and look, I look at Notre Dame, and okay, you're always going to look at the quarterback. Okay, what's the quarterback play like? And I get it. You may say, okay, Riley Leonard's not a dominant quarterback. But this is the thing about Riley Leonard. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he has the element of being able to use his legs and run with the football. I think that goes by the wayside when we're talking about Riley Leonard. That's a part of his game. That's a part, really, of Notre Dame's running game. And so now you couple that with a healthy Jeremiah Love at running back. I mean, he's healthy. Like, he wasn't healthy necessarily in the Penn State game. He gutted it out. He only got 11 carries. I think it was 11 carries in that football game. So he remember that touchdown that he got when he fought off like 4 or 5 Penn State defenders was really, I thought, the key to Notre Dame winning that football game. But this is the other thing about Notre Dame. The pass defense for Notre Dame, the defense in of itself is really, really good. Yes. You look at Penn State was able to put up some yards in terms of in the run game against Notre Dame, but that pass defense for Notre Dame is exceptional, and it's been exceptional. And I think that is part of the reason. I believe that it's destiny also. I mean, I got to tell you, you may not agree with that and may not be into that, but I really believe it's destiny that Notre Dame will win the national championship this year. It's been a long time coming. College football as a whole is better when Notre Dame is good. Notre Dame is good. Notre Dame is on the cusp, and I think wins the national championship. Thoughts? Hit me up via X at Box2Row, and we'll continue this conversation. Let's keep things moving here on the program. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, in his seventh season in the National Football League, all with Washington. The Commanders' big win over Tampa, going to take on Detroit in the divisional round of the playoffs, as we're joined by special teamer and safety Jeremy Reeves here on the program. What's going on, Jeremy? Welcome to the program.
I appreciate you for having me.
Absolutely. Got to start here. Big win in Tampa on the road against the Buccaneers. You know, the team played well, got the big win. Your thoughts?
I won't say we played well. We did enough to win. Okay. That's the big thing I could probably take away from that game. But it was complimentary on all sides of the ball, right? Special teams, offense, defensively. And so I don't think it was our best game, but I think it was good enough to win. And just now we got to, you know, obviously piggyback off of the good things that we did do and try to eliminate some of the things that we didn't do well and go into this game with the same mindset, which is to win.
Man, let me take you back a couple of weeks ago. I got to ask you, I don't think I knew this. Like, I was at the game against Atlanta, and, mm-hmm. of course, you proposed to your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Made national headlines. Watching you see the smile on your face. Were you planning to do that? What went into it in terms of doing it at that moment?
I had had it for a few weeks. I had had the ring for a few weeks. And I was just basically, you know, kind of waiting on the timing to, like, do it. I didn't know when, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I kind of wish low-key I would have done it the Philly game, but the ring wasn't there. So I just told Alexis, our play engagement person, I was like, hey, listen, like, bring the ring with you. Like, we win this game, it's going to happen. Because that was the thing. Like, we had to win. My fiance, she knows how I am, and I know how I am. And if, like, things – if we don't win or if I don't play well, I'm usually in a bad mood for 24 hours. So it was only going down on a win. And, all the guys, once they found out, they're like, look, we definitely got to win this game now. So it was a really cool moment, man. It was a special moment.
We're talking with Jeremy Reeves of the Washington Commanders. More of our conversation with Jeremy after this small pause for the cause. Keep it locked to Box to Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I got to go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our lives. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is so beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season, was able to get that done, and it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip-hop, and it's given me back that same love in return, you know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it. I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it, and I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle because of the way that I treat people, and I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there, and that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused. Just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
50 Cent in Atlanta told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and focused, man, put everything to the side, made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show, and that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Washington Commanders special team specialist and safety Jeremy Reeves is joining us here on the program. And before we went to break, we were talking with Jeremy about proposing to his girlfriend. He proposed to his girlfriend after the Commander's victory over Atlanta. And, man, you could have done it any number of these, what, last 6-7 weeks. The team has been, I mean, I get it. Yeah. What you're saying about Tampa, okay, maybe didn't play your best. But, man, this team wins football games. It's like the cardiac kids. It seems to always come down to the wire, right? Can you just speak to how really the team has played over the last 6 or 7 weeks?
I mean, the one word I can use to describe the group is just resilient. I mean, you know, I always say, and, you know, I think a lot of people in this building believe November, December football is where it counts the most, right? Like, that's where you get down to the nitty-gritty of the season. It's easy to start off hot and then kind of simmer down towards the end of the year, but you want to be playing your best ball going towards the end of the year, because that's where teams kind of separate themselves. And so this group's just been, you know, scratching tooth and nail, right? Like, it's just the understanding of what it takes to win in this league and how it's going to take everybody involved. It's all hands on deck. And this group just epitomizes that, right? It's just everybody's kind of played their part and, you know, bought into their role. And, you know, when you have a bunch of group of guys that believe in each other and believe in, you know, the message that's being preached every day, you get results like that. I saw a statistic where it was like our last 3 or 4 games have come down to like the last play, which is crazy to think about. But it just goes to show the group, right? You're never out of a fight. You're never out of a game. You just got to keep going forward. No matter how bad the last play, the last series, the last quarter was, it's about the next play in front of you.
Jeremy Reeves, special team specialist and safety for the Washington Commanders, joins us here on the program. I got to tell you, You know, I'm a DMVer. I you know, grew up, you know, you can tell by the little why. I mean, I was there, you know, remember the team during the glory days and all, with Joe Gibbs and all of that and the Super Bowls and all that. Speak to, it seemed like the city's on fire, man. Can you speak to that and really on fire? I mean, the city lives and dies by this team, generally speaking. But now that the team is doing what it's doing, seems like the city's on fire.
Yeah, man. I actually said on social media the other day that, you know, it's just been a sleeping giant that was woke up, right? Like, this team has awoken a city that's been waiting on just something for years. I mean, I've been here 7 years, and they've just been waiting, right? Like, just – and it's been going on long before that, right? And so what you see now is just a product of everything that's happened this year, and, like, the fans are finally, like, wow, we got what we've been waiting for. Because, I mean, most people had us win 6 games, I think, at the beginning of the year, right? Like, there wasn't a lot of optimism outside of the building about what we would do, but we knew in the building what we were going to do. And so this fan base has just been awakened, man, and it's been a giant. That game last week felt like a home game almost. It was crazy, the amount of people that were there. But it's been cool, man, just to, you know, and, like, one of the coolest things for me just to see is just, like, you know, these fans deserve that, right? They've been through a lot. They've been through a lot. And people from the DMV, you said you're from the DMV. You guys been through a ton. And so just to kind of, you know, get the fruits of, you know, your reward and the patience of it all, just to kind of see it unfold in front of you with this quarterback and his new staff and his team in general, right? Like, it's really cool to see, because I've been here pretty much through every phase in the 7 years. I've been – this is my third team name. This is my third coaching staff. This is my second owner. So, yeah, I've kind of seen it all unfold myself a little bit. So just to see, like, right, where it started and where it's at now, like, I'm probably happier for the people that have been pulling for this team their entire lives than I am for myself, because they deserve it, man. It's really cool.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I was in Tampa. It had to be 25 to 35% Commanders fans in that stadium, which is crazy. You know what's interesting to me, for you? You've been through some ups and downs as a professional, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. I'm sure you've had other opportunities to go other places, perhaps to sign as a free agent. What has made you stick and want to stick in Washington?
Simple, man. You know, I'll take you back even further, right? Like, when I was in college, before all this transfer portal mess was happening, right? I was going to be a grad student my senior year, and I had a teammate that left, and he went to a Power 5 program, and they were really interested in me because I'd been playing well. I was pretty much a 3-year starter at that point. And, you know, they were interested in me coming to play with them. And I was like, you know, now I'm a big believer in, like, right, when you start something, you finish it. And, you know, you don't run from things just because it's tough or uncomfortable, right? Like, that's most of the time when you're going to do most of your growing. And so I had tons of times, right? I was cut 4 times in my first 4 years. So I was cut every year my first 4 years in the league, right? And, like, I had teams that wanted me to come sign and all of that. But, like, it was the point where, like, God put me through this for some reason. I don't know why right now, and I don't know what it's for. And, yes, it's uncomfortable, and, yes, it sucks, and, yes, it's frustrating and every emotion you could probably think of. But there's something on the end of this, right? And so I just stuck it out, right? Like, I think adversity builds character. I kind of live by that, and I live by process over product, right? You got to go through your process, whatever that may be. And sometimes it's the waiting game, right? Like, sometimes you it's patience, and it's time, and it's all the things that naturally as a human that aren't comfortable for you that lead to where you're supposed to be at. And so that's why I stayed, man, and that's why I was able to overcome all of those setbacks. And, you know, I get to the point where once I was given the opportunity, because I always knew once I was given the opportunity to go show what I could do, I was going to go do that. Right. I never lost doubt in myself. Right. It was just the point of, like, I'm having to wait so long. So once that opportunity came, man, I ran with it and I haven't looked back. So that was really the biggest thing.
Very well said. Jeremy Reeves of the Washington Commanders joins us here on the program for a couple of more moments. Let me take you back a little bit as well. 2022, you know, when you were named All-Pro, for the, well, the, I guess the Washington football team, I guess is what it was called, if I remember correctly. I can't keep it. At the time, right? And you went into Ron Rivera's office, the coach at that time, and I don't know what you were thinking. Maybe you were thinking something because you had been through so much. Take us through that particular moment when Coach Rivera told you you were All-Pro going to the Pro Bowl, and then what that meant to you.
At first, I'm not gonna lie to you. I got so much PTSD from being cut. I thought I was getting cut. Programming wise, if I'm getting called into front office. Like the front office or the head coach, usually I've gotten cut or something is about to happen. That's probably not going to be good for me. So like, and my first initial reaction was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm like, no way I'm about to get cut. But at the same time, I'm like, it's week like 17 and I'm like the top in the NFL and special teams tackles. Like, there's no way I'm about to get cut right now. I'm playing like great ball. So I was genuinely confused. I had no idea what I was going in there for. I had no idea what was coming. I just was like, I'm all right. So I walk in there, and you know, he lays the news on me, and like the first reaction was like, because that same year I lost my mother that same year, and so like, or the year before, I'm sorry, I lost my mother, and so like the first reaction was like, just gratitude, right? And like I was filled with it, and it was shocking, and it was like the tears, obviously, like it was everything, because you know, like you go through so much, right? And you go through, and like this business is such a small window, right? It's a tiny window, and a lot of times guys can just miss that window. And so just to be able to persevere through the things that I had went through, and to never give up, and to keep putting my best foot forward every day, no matter how I felt or how bad the situation was, and to come out on the side, on the other side of it, it was just a, you know, great things come to those who work and who wait. And every emotion you could possibly think of in that moment I had, right? I was thinking about my mom and just how, you know, how I know how she'd be so proud of me. And I was thinking about just all the tough things that I went through and all the nights where, you know, I was up late just wondering, like, you know, God, is this really for me? And everything that you could possibly think of, a human reaction, I went through it. And, yeah, man, that was just a real raw moment of just, you know, when you come out on the other side, you see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you actually get to that light at the end of the tunnel. Like, that's what that was, man. It was I'll never forget it. It was crazy start of it, but the end of it, I'll never forget it. That was a really, really blessed moment for me in my life.
Yeah, and it's great because that was the first time in your career that you had made a 53-man roster coming into the, like you said, if you look at the history, it's been like, okay, you're waived or cut or whatever, then you resign the next day with this team. So that's that. Mm-hmm. That was good to see that happen for you. Two last thoughts. How special of a player is Jayden Daniels?
What you see on TV is who he is. Right, like he epitomizes everything that you want in a player. Right, focused, great guy in the locker room, great person out of the building, ultimate competitor. If you watch him, which most people do, you don't think he's a rookie. Right, he just doesn't carry himself as a rookie. He's just got the ultimate poise, man, and like he's a dude. Right, when I think of like just guys that love ball and guys that love to compete. And winners, like, he's one of the first dudes that come to mind, man. He's got the whole thing. And, like, it's been really cool to see, because at his position, you don't see it a lot where guys just come in off the back and they're just automatically ready. But he's got that it factor to him, man. And he's a great dude, man. Like, that's like the little bro to me. So me and him, we give each other slack all the time. But, you know, he keep me young, I should say. But
he's a good – I mean, 28's not old.
In this business, that's old, brother. I ain't gonna lie to you. Man, he's a great kid, man. And you know, he's got so much ahead of him at the end of the day, because you know, he's going by God's will, and that's what he believes, right? And he follows that compass, and he doesn't shift from it. And the results you see on the weekends is because of that.
Last thought, Jeremy, we appreciate the time. Your thoughts on the Lions and and going into Detroit on Saturday?
It's a great team, man. I mean, obviously, the resume speaks for itself, man. They are a very complete team. You know, the cool thing about it is it'll be a great test for us, right? Like, we view ourselves as a complete team. We view ourselves as a team that can go after and go play against anybody, right? And so it'll be nice for us to go out there and go play good football, man, and just put our best foot forward. I know they're going to come ready and ready to compete. Coach Campbell over there does a great job with them. Coach Phipp, special teams wise, I was with him in Philly for a while. I know how he's wired. So they're ultimate competitors over there, man. And we are too. So it's going to be fun on Sunday, man. I'm super excited, right? This is uncharted territory for me. So I'm all juiced up for this one.
Sounds great. Jeremy Reeves again in his seventh season in the National Football League, all with Washington. He's a special team specialist, All-Pro in 2022, also a safety for the Commanders. Again, the Commanders going to be in Detroit on Saturday taking on the Lions. Jeremy, appreciate the time. Continued success to you and the Commanders.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Appreciate you, Jeremy. More of Box to Row is on the other side.
BoxToRow.com is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs. From the game of the week feature to interviews to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered. Ooh. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row? BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls. From the Press Box to Press Row and BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
Let's talk some playoffs here on the program, and we're going to start with the first game, the Chiefs and the Texans. Game going to be played in Kansas City. And for this game, look, the Chiefs, when you look at the Chiefs, the Chiefs have won some tough games this year. This isn't the Chiefs team. Even the Chiefs team last year, which had more losses and was a playoff or was a wild card team. You know, this Chiefs team this year, I'm not as much a believer in, to be honest with you. But, you know, the bottom line is, did you win a football? Did you win or did you not win? And the Chiefs had some real battles this year. I mean, you can look at going back all the way to the first game of the season, just being able to escape and get the victory over the Ravens. Maybe if Lively's toe isn't on the line, we're having a different conversation about the Chiefs. 1-point win against the Bengals, finding ways to beat the Chargers, played the Raiders twice in close games. The Raiders had an abysmal season, quite frankly, this year. Getting the victory against the Buccaneers, a close game. Finding a way to win games against the Broncos and the Panthers. As bad as the Panthers were, they weren't that bad. And on the road, you know, the Chiefs had to find a way to win games. So this is what the Chiefs have done all season long in terms of finding ways to win games. It's a Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl defending champions. And with that, looking to three-peat, I think it's going to be awfully hard to three-peat. I think we'll see the Chiefs utilize Xavier Worthy a little bit more. And I really believe that the Chiefs needed, you know, all of these close games, right? I mean, yeah, they in essence, you're talking about the Chiefs and the majority of the starters anyway having 2 weeks off. Now, that could, I mean, play against the team in a lot of respects, because you have a Texans team in that's hot, didn't necessarily have a great regular season playing in a very weak AFC South, but at the end of the day beat a Chargers team that had a pretty solid season and beat the Chargers handily. I think that Texans defense is absolutely tremendous. I think you're going to see the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy a little bit more involved in the passing game.
I think DeAndre Hopkins has a big game against his old team. I mean, it's been a while, obviously, since he played, you know, for the Texans. But I'm just saying, I think he's going to have a really, really big game. And look, Patrick Mahomes hasn't been, like, great. If you look at the numbers, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You know, his rating is below 100, if you're really into that. Like, it hasn't been great. That said, I do believe that the Chiefs are vulnerable. I think more so in the next round. I look at this Texans team. Joe Mixon got nicked up in practice. He's got an ankle injury as well as he played in the victory over the Chargers. I thought C.J. Stroud was solid in that game. Not great. And by the way, this is a Chiefs defense that is really, really good. We're seeing that back end really kind of come around. And I'll also say this, you know, Joshua Williams is listed as a starter on the depth chart, and he has had a solid season. He's played relatively well, particularly the second half of the season. Of course, the former draft pick out of Fayetteville State in his third season. So, you know, all of those things being said, I like the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs in this game against the Texans. I think the Texans had a good, really good victory over the Chargers, but I think that their postseason run and the potential for a team like that to make it to the Super Bowl is going to end on Saturday. Lions and the Commanders in Detroit. I'm not going to sit here and give you a prediction because obviously I'm biased as a Commanders fan, but I'm going to, you know, let's look at this thing, right? Like, let's look at the Lions. The Lions had a bye. Unlike the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are a championship team, right? Could afford to basically take 2 weeks off. The Lions have had a week off. Not that the Lions can't get it done. The Lions did make it to the NFC Championship game on last year. If you remember, if you've listened to this show, at the beginning of the season, I said that I didn't think the Lions would make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's a real, you know, I don't know if I'm going to stick to that because I said it at that time. But man, the Lions are really, really good, especially the way that the Vikings have really faltered. The Lions have continued to play well. I mean, look, the offense, it's not a lot that needs to be said. Right? Like, Jared Goff is going to be solid. He's got the experience, helped to lead this team to the NFC Championship game last year, also played in a Super Bowl for the Rams going back some years ago. They didn't want him, traded him to the Lions, and the fortunes for the Lions in part have changed since that time. Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the best receivers in the league, along with Jameson Williams, and then the running back situation, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, good grief. The offense is just off the charts. And going up against a Commanders defense that, you know, did what it needed to do against the Buccaneers, got a couple of stops when the Commanders needed to get a couple of stops. But, you know, Marshawn Lattimore really got torched, going up against Tampa Bay. But that said, he has a week under his belt. He had been off a couple of weeks. When you're talking about the Buccaneers, right? And, you know, Baker Mayfield really had a really, really good season. And you're talking about going up against a guy like a Mike Evans, 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons, big receiver. I mean, that's a tough ask. So we'll see how, you know, Lattimore bounces back. The linebackers are solid. What the Commanders are going to have to do from a defensive perspective is get pressure on Jared Goff. You can't let him sit back and throw the football because the defensive secondary is not good at all for the Commanders. Let's flip things around. Let's look at the Lions from a defensive perspective. While the Lions weren't or have had a lot of injuries, especially defensively, I don't know. When I think back to the game against the Vikings, I think it may have been more about what the Vikings didn't do than what the the Lions did defensively. That said, Aaron Glenn is an excellent defensive coordinator, excellent in the schemes based upon the personnel that he has. Looking at the Washington offense, I mean, it's solid in of itself. Like Terry McLaurin, I mean, even Deami Brown can make made some plays at the wide receiver position. The running game has been an issue. You know, I think that the Commanders have to use Austin Eckler, a little bit more, because not only can he run the football, but he can catch the ball as well, because Brian Robinson has had some fumble issues. And then he's not the same runner that we saw even a couple of years ago behind an offensive line that has had some injuries. And he hasn't. The offensive line for the Commanders has been good when it's needed to be good, but it hasn't been good overall. That's been part of the issue, both in the pass protection game and in the run game. But Jaden Daniels is so special. Like, that is the saving grace for the Commanders. And I really believe that the Commanders have a chance in this football game against the Lions, but it's going to be very, very tough. The Rams and the Eagles. This is an interesting matchup and an intriguing matchup, because while coming into the playoffs in the latter part of the season, and look, I see what the Rams were doing. The Rams were winning some games, had gone on a stretch. A lot of people, if you listen to talk radio, if you listen to TV, really like the Rams. I wasn't a believer in the Rams because, you know, Matthew Stafford really had a good career, has won a Super Bowl, but Stafford can at times throw that interception that makes you say, good grief. That hasn't happened, right? Then you look at all of the weapons. Cup, I'm not sure of Higbee, the tight end, I'm not sure of his status for the game. Nacua, you know, even Williams in the running game, the offensive line is pretty good. But it's really been the defense of the Rams. You look at Aaron Donald retired. You think that the defense may take a step back. Not really. Like, the defense has been really, really sound for the Rams. When I look at the Eagles, something about the Eagles isn't right to me. Jalen Hurts, right, he comes back. I mean, he has an okay game. You know, Saquon Barkley, typical, rushes for over 100 yards. But he's going up against a defense that is much better than the defense he played against last week. Now, that Eagles defense is really, really good. It's just something about the Eagles that's really missing to me. And I don't know if this is an upset, but I'm going to go with the Rams over the Eagles on the road. And then the game of all games, the Ravens and the Bills. Like, it's so tough to really try to pick a winner, right? Like, Zay Flowers, I mean, it looks doubtful, but again, to me, even without Zay Flowers, I thought it was, you know, Lamar Jackson has worked with less in years past, including last year, right? And still, whether, you know, whatever, but they made it, meaning the Ravens, to the AFC Championship game. Derrick Henry's almost unstoppable. Right. And so now you give Lamar Jackson more weapons. Meanwhile, I look on the other side. Josh Allen's been tremendous. His receiving core has been really, really good. You know, the run game has been good. And then you also add Allen into that run game as well. Buffalo's defense has been solid, but I don't think it's going to be solid enough to be able to stop the Ravens in this game. And by the slimmest of margins, this game is in Buffalo. The slimmest of margins. I think this game comes down to who has the last possession. I think it's the Ravens that are going to have the last possession. And I like the Ravens in this game. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Jeremy Reeves of the Commanders for joining us today here on the program. For more information on Box to Row, visit our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support Yo, Box to Row is produced by DW Communications. All the way to heaven, step in heaven.